and has been carried off into exile about 100 years before. They've been kind of scattered everywhere. Jeremiah is now a prophet speaking to the southern kingdom of Judah. And God is bringing judgment on this southern kingdom to the nation and specifically to the city of Jerusalem. The city is about to be destroyed and Solomon's temple destroyed and all those things. The southern kingdom, just like the northern kingdom did, they forsaken the Lord, they worshiped idols, they sinned against God, they refused to obey His word, refused to listen to His prophet. So the Assyrian empire that had conquered Israel, they themselves had been conquered by the Babylonian empire. The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and the Babylonians now control this whole region. And now they're the ones threatening to lay siege to Jerusalem. Babylon's already calling the shots. Nebuchadnezzar is already running things. They've kind of conquered Judah and they've kind of come and carried some people off into exile, enslaved people. Chapter 37, verse 1 says, Zedekiah, son of Josiah, he was actually probably a grandson or so, was made king of Judah by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. So he was kind of a puppet king, almost like the way in the time of Jesus, Herod was a king, but Herod answered. He was appointed there, put there by the emperor of Rome because they controlled the country. So Babylon was kind of controlling things. They had placed Zedekiah on the throne, and then Judah had to pay tribute, had to pay taxes to Babylon, and they were kind of pushing against that. So Nebuchadnezzar had said, all right, either play ball or I'm going to destroy the city. I'm going to lay it waste. And that's exactly what he does within the next few years. So God called his prophet Jeremiah. It's fascinating. You read the first couple of chapters of the book of Jeremiah. God calls him and says to him, I've called you while you were still in your mother's womb. I know they just had the March for Life a week ago yesterday, I think. Talk about talk about life and a choice right there. God says to Jeremiah, I knew you before you were formed. I called you from before you were born, in your mother's womb, called you for this task. And then God says, I'm asking you to go be my voice and to speak, and I'm just going to tell you, nobody's going to like what you've got to say. You're going to pay for this, and it's just going to be pretty tough, but I'm calling you to be a prophet. And Jeremiah says, okay, send me. But you hate to hear that because people on both sides, nobody was happy to hear what Jeremiah was telling them. Because when he comes on the scene, what he says is, God's going to bring judgment to the nation of Judah. God's going to bring judgment and destruction's going to come to Jerusalem, to the city. And the only thing we can do is surrender to the Babylonians and go with them wherever they're going to take us. The only way to escape death was surrender. This was God's doing. It was God's judgment. There was no way around it. It was inescapable. So as you can imagine, the king wasn't too happy to hear that. The Jewish people were not too happy about it. So they branded Jeremiah a traitor for recommending surrender to their enemy. It was a little bit of a reprieve from the siege of Jerusalem and Judah because the Pharaoh and the Egyptian army comes up. They had signed a treaty years before with Judah and with one of the kings. And so the Pharaoh comes marching up from Egypt. And when that happens, the Babylonians retreat. They pull back a little way and everybody's rejoicing, saying, oh, this is terrific. See, Jeremiah, you were just making that stuff up. You don't know what you're talking about because the Babylonians are going back to Babylon and we're going to be free and everything's going to be fine. So you've just been, you've been whatever, just talking out of your hat or whatever. But look what Jeremiah tells them. This is what the Lord says through Jeremiah. He says, go tell them this. Pharaoh's army, which has marched out to support you, will go back to its own land of Egypt. And then the Babylonians will come back and attack this city. They will capture it and burn it down. Do not deceive yourselves thinking the Babylonians will surely leave us. They will not. Even if you were to defeat the entire Babylonian army that's attacking you, and only wounded men were left in their tents, they would still come out and burn this city down. So he says, even if you just got guys on crutches, just dragging themselves up there, they're still going to tear the city down and burn it because God's already said this is what's going to happen. Judgment's coming. So when the Babylonian army withdrew briefly, Jeremiah starts to leave the city, because it's been under siege. He leaves the city to go check on his property, on his home. And when he does, the captain of the guard stopped him, accused him of deserting to the Babylonians, had him beaten and thrown into a cell, into a dungeon, actually. And the king hears about it, and he doesn't want to go against his advisors, so he goes along with keeping Jeremiah locked up in prison. But then privately, he sends a messenger to Jeremiah, and he asks this question: is there any word from the Lord? And that's what we're going to look at this morning. It's a strange question to ask in light of what the Bible says earlier in that same chapter. Because in verse 2 of chapter 37, the Bible says neither the king nor his attendants nor the people of the land paid any attention to the words the Lord had spoken through Jeremiah the prophet. They weren't listening to him when he was saying, "This is thus saith the Lord. Here's what God's saying about Jerusalem and about Judah." They're just ignoring it. They ignored the word. But in the very next verse, another interesting thing, it says they won't listen to him. But then Zedekiah sent word to Jeremiah and said, "Please pray to the Lord our God for us." They wouldn't listen to what he had to say, but they're asking for prayer. Kind of sounds familiar to me. I know people that kind of live that way. They refuse to listen to the prophet's words. You know, they refuse to listen to the preacher. They tell mom and dad, grandma, stop trying to shove Jesus and religion down our throat. I don't believe that stuff. I don't need it. I'm not going to listen to what any preacher said. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want any of that stuff. Just leave me alone. But then when something happens, they're calling, "Grandma, could you pray for me? We've got a real situation over here." Well, now let me clear that up. You want grandma to pray. Now, you want me to talk to the God that you said you didn't believe in, that you were mad at, that you didn't want to hear anything about? You want me to talk to him for you? Is that what you're telling me? Uh-huh. Thank you. So, anyway. Yeah, does that sound familiar to anybody? Yeah, maybe just a little bit. Like, well, stop telling me I need to listen. Yeah, but then when trouble comes, we want somebody to pray to the Lord for us. All right. That's getting... Well, anyway. All right. So let me make a few observations here before we go to lunch. Here's number one. Inquiring of the Lord is the right thing, but what do you plan to do when He answers? It's right for us to ask the Lord. It's right to ask Him for guidance, for direction, for wisdom and help. But are you prepared to do what God tells you to do? Are you prepared to follow His instruction and His direction regardless? And that was the problem with the king. He wanted a word from God. He wanted direction. He just didn't want to follow God's direction when he heard the Lord's word if it wasn't what he wanted to do. And failure to honor God's word was going to cost him big time. Is there any word from the Lord, Jeremiah? That's what the king asked. But that's not really what he was asking. What he was really saying was, after cooling your heels in a dungeon for a few months, have you changed your mind about what you've been saying is going to happen to me and my family and to Jerusalem? Have you got a new word from God now that we've had you hanging out in a dungeon for several months? What's the Lord have to say now? He wanted a new word from God. He wanted the word to change somehow or another. And here's the next thing you need to know. You can't afford to make God's word say what you want it to say. See, we don't have permission to rewrite Scripture. We don't have permission to try to make God's word fit our circumstances or our culture, or to somehow, finesse it and manipulate it where it makes it a little easier. We want it to be light on sin and heavy on blessing, don't we? We want it to turn out that way. The king was trying to find a word from God that would say what he wanted it to say, that everything was going to be just fine, that the Babylonians were going back. It was always that way. The relationship between prophets and kings in the Old Testament was always a little dicey. And the prophet would say, "Here's what God told me." And some of the kings would kind of pull their hair and just say, "Don't you ever have anything good to say? Other advisors are telling me good things. Why can't you tell me? Tell me something good." And so they go, "Okay, then you're not going to have any problems." And yeah, you're right. The Babylonians are probably just going to go home. They're going to, just wave as they go by and everything will be just fine. And then the kings are like, "Why are you lying to me? Because you told me to say what would make you happy. No, tell me the truth." Well, the truth is exactly what I told you before, that God's going to bring destruction on this because you're a big fat sinner. Okay? I don't think that's not King James. But anyway, it's in there somewhere. So they wanted to change the Word of God. Listen, I understand that. They want the happy all the promises are good. Here's the prosperity version of the Bible where nothing bad ever happens. And folks, that's not the Bible. It may be somebody's theology, but it's not the Bible. There was a word for the king and for the nation, and they needed to hear it, and they needed to heed it. They needed to obey it. And sometimes the truth is we need to ask God for a word, and then we need to ask Him for the courage to hear that word and obey what God says for us. Hear it and then repent and then obey it. We need to make a course correction. When He says you're off course, you need to straighten out. That's what we need to do based on His word to us. We need to act on it. There's something I saw as I was studying this past week. I want to show you in chapter 36, and this is a different king. This is Jehoiakim. This is a couple of kings before Zedekiah. They were moving through them real fast, actually. Huh? They were brothers. Jehoiakim and Jehoiakim. Zedekiah was a brother. That's what you're trying to tell me. She knows the kings better. It's Josiah, Jehoiakim, 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 and Zedekiah. And they were one of them. I don't know. Jehoiakim got assassinated, didn't he? He reigned for a little while, and then he disappeared. And we think somebody bumped him off. Maybe Zedekiah. And seriously, yeah. There's some speculation. So anyway, you can read it. If you're taking, are we teaching New Testament or Old Testament right now? Old Testament? Okay, so if you want to know more about this, go to Sunday school, the 9 o'clock class, right? Right there is Jester Beal. He's teaching Old Testament. Got some good teachers, whatever, had 32 in there. And so you need to show up, study the Old Testament, and then you would not be confused about who Jehoiakim and Jehoiakim are, right? You'll clear that up for him. I promise you. So go to Sunday school. Start next Sunday so you'll know and you won't be confused about the kings. So, good kings and bad kings. There were a lot of men here. And so this is an earlier king. This is Jehoiakim. And so Jeremiah then gets this word from God about this judgment that's going to come, because this has been going on for 20 years here. And so he gets this word and he tells his scribe, Baruch, he says, write this down. We're going to write it on a scroll and we're going to deliver it to the king. So that's what they do. So in chapter 36, they get this scroll, because what happens is, I gotta hurry, but this is why teaching the Old Testament is fascinating. So they say the chief of staff and all the guys in the West Wing, they hear this and they say, does the king know what the prophet's saying? Well, I don't know. I think he does. I don't know. So they say, see if you can get the documents. See if you can get that, and let's tell the king. He needs to see this. And so they get the official document. They get what Jeremiah said, write it down. So the scribe writes it all down, and they get it. So in chapter 36, verse 22, it says, it was the ninth month, and the king was sitting in the winter apartment with a fire burning in the fire pot in front of him. And he tells them, okay, so what's the word here? And they start reading this word that Jeremiah has written. All right, so they're reading this prophecy. And it says, whenever Jehudi had read three or four columns of the scroll, the king cut them off with a scribe's knife and threw them in the fire pot. And then they'd read three or four more lines of the scroll and he'd say, no, I don't like that either. Let's just cut that out. And he cuts it off and throws it in the fire pot. All right, what else has God got for us? They read the rest of Jeremiah's words, cuts that off and throws it in the fire. And then verse 24 says, the king and all his attendants who heard all these words showed no fear, nor did they tear their clothes. Now, what's going on? Jeremiah is saying, this is what the Lord says. And they don't even show remorse about it. They don't tear the clothes, which is a sign of grief. Or the priest would tear his clothes in the hearing of something that was blasphemous. They should have been tearing their garments saying, I can't believe that the king is rejecting the word of God. They should have been repenting, and there should have been remorse over that. They should have been saying, we've got to correct course. We're going to be in trouble. Instead, they showed no fear of God, no remorse. They didn't tear their garments. They didn't repent. Instead, the king blamed Jeremiah and sent word to have the prophet arrested for speaking God's word. Now, let me tell you, we live in a world where the same kind of thing is happening even in the church world. And we are right now in 2019 witnessing evangelical churches who in their councils and sessions are essentially cutting out pages of the scripture and saying, oh, we don't agree with that anymore, and throwing it in the fire, and there's no remorse, regret, or repentance. Nobody's tearing their garments. I'm talking about evangelical churches that came out of a holiness trend tradition that are saying, yeah, where's that page about sexual purity? Yeah, we don't want that anymore because we can't get enough people to live that way. So we're tearing it out and throwing it in the fire. Where's all that stuff about marriage and stuff? Yeah, let's just throw that in there. Let's see if we can't alter it so we can get it to say what conforms with the way people are living. And folks, that's a dangerous place to be. We can't mess with the Word of God. You can't change what it says. Yeah, you can applaud that and say amen to that. Hallelujah. It's a dangerous thing if we ignore God's Word. And we ignore the consequences because they're going to come if we ignore God's Word. I believe there's a word from the Lord for today. We need to hear it and we need to heed it as well. And it's not enough to ask if there's a word from the Lord. We have to prepare our heart then to hear it and act on it, to obey it, to correct our course, to do what God's Word is telling us to do. God told the king to surrender to Babylon and he would live. And instead, the king rejects that word, refuses to obey God. And you can read it in chapter 39. He tries to escape, ends up being captured by the Babylonians. They made King Zedekiah stand there and watch as they brought his family, his sons and wives in, and they killed his family. And then they gouged his eyes out and took him to Babylon. And he spent the rest of his life blind and alone in a prison in Babylon, regretting the fact that he didn't do what God warned him and told him to do to begin with. Listen, if you want to hear from God, you better be prepared to respond and obey the word that he speaks. The Bible tells us in the book of James to not just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. There are consequences to hearing and disobeying, and there are blessings that come with obedience. Is there a word from the Lord? Yes. But understand, it may not be a real feel-good word you get from God. It may be a do-right word from the Lord. He may be telling you, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to correct things. This is how you need to bring your life in line with the Word. And when we do that, then there is blessing that comes. Are you willing to listen and obey? It may not be the word you expected. It may not be the word that you wanted, but I'm asking again, are you willing to listen and obey? Are you willing to accept His Word and His timing? And then before you answer that, let me remind you of this. God's Word is a redemptive Word. While Jeremiah warns them that there's judgment coming, God still would speak a word of blessing and prosperity and redemption for Judah. Now, it was going to be 70 years in the future, but God hadn't forgotten them. And even though the people were suffering the consequences of their choices and sins, God wouldn't forsake them. He had spoken, and there was a redemptive work at hand in all this. God had already promised redemption and restoration. And so they burn up that roll, and Jeremiah says, well, Lord, the king wouldn't even listen to it. He burned it up, and God says, write it down again. He calls the scribe in. He says, we're going to do this again. They didn't have copy machines. Take a picture of it this time, will you? And so he says, we're going to do this again. We're writing it down again, and we're going to roll it up. We're going to keep the scroll because this is God's Word. And you know what happens? That Word gets taken with them when judgment does come and Jerusalem is destroyed. That scroll of Jeremiah gets tucked in with all these papers and gets carried off to Babylon. And then sometime later, 70 years later, Daniel, you can read it in the book of Daniel, or you can go to Justice class and get it there in the coming Sunday. But Daniel then is saying, is this ever going to end? Do we just forget about Jerusalem? We've made homes here in Babylon and we're the exiles here. Will we never get to go home? And he finds the scroll of Jeremiah and he starts reading and suddenly he discovers God said 70 years. And when 70 years was finished, we'd be able to go home. And Daniel does the math and says, hey, that's about now. We're going to get out of here. We're going to go home because God says He's going to restore all this. You see, there was a redemptive work of restoration that was coming. And God was judging the sin of Judah in order, ultimately, to save the nation. And not just the nation, but to save us. Because He was going to turn the people back to obedience and back to serving God. Because through those people, the Messiah would be born. Our salvation depended upon the survival of the Jewish people. And so instead of taking them off to Babylon and leaving them there and then they just assimilate and disappear, God says, no, I'm going to bring them back to the land because in that land, in a place called Bethlehem, a Savior is going to be born. I'm going to send my Son and He's going to bring about salvation for the whole world. So thank God His Word is a redemptive word. even if we're going through tough times. You may be going through a difficult season right now, facing a challenge, wondering what will be the outcome of it all. And bear in mind, God is always active in redemptive ways. That's true for you and your situation. And so in spite of the judgment, here's what Daniel finally reads. He says, look at this. Jeremiah said, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I'll come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And I will bring you back from captivity. Even though you're having to go through a dark night of the soul, even though this is difficult, this is a challenge, this is hard, I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to bring you back. There's reason for this. We're going somewhere. And there's going to be health and restoration coming because God's word is a redemptive word always. Jeremiah 33, God says, nevertheless, I'll bring health and healing. I'll heal my people. I'll let them enjoy abundant peace and security. I'll bring Judah and Israel back from captivity and will rebuild them as they were before. I'll cleanse them from all the sin they've committed against me and will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. If you read Jeremiah 33, he goes on to say, I know this has become a place that's desolate. Not even men, not even animals in the streets. Everything's deserted in Jerusalem. There's nobody to inhabit it. He says, but once again, the sounds of joy and gladness will be heard. The voices of bride and bridegroom, the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord and who say, give thanks to the Lord for He is good and His mercy endures forever. And they'll be back in the streets of Jerusalem. First time I went to Israel, I met a man there. He owns a bookshop in the old city of Jerusalem. And it's just across the plaza there from one of the old synagogues in the old city. And we had this conversation. I said, do you get it? Do you understand what we Christians see about this, the fulfillment of prophecy? And he said, oh, of course we get it. Of course we get it, he said, because our prophets, when it looked like when the city was in ruins, when it was being destroyed, and he said, and we see it then through the Holocaust and everything else, that the prophet looked ahead and said, through all the desolation and destruction, God's word will be faithful, and someday the voice of the bride and the bridegroom will be singing in this city. He said, and I wonder, did the prophet look and see my children dancing in the streets? Did they see my kids running up and down the streets of the old city of Jerusalem? Because that's the faithfulness of God. When we go to Israel, I always tell people, look around, because what you're seeing is God, the truth and the faithfulness of God's promise and God's word. He will do what He said He was going to do. He's faithful, friends. He's faithful, and He's going to do that good thing. If you're going through a challenge, a trial right now, and you're unsure of how you're going to make it through, keep obeying the word of God. Stay surrendered to Him and realize that He's still working in redemptive ways in your life, just like He was working in the lives of the people in Judah. He's taken us towards healing and hope. And if you're living in the trials of Jeremiah chapter 36 and 37 and 38 and 39, where there's judgment coming and things are falling apart, if you're going through that kind of difficult time right now, just don't forget the redemptive, faithful promises of Jeremiah 29 and 30 and 31 and 32 and 33, where he says, I'm going to heal and I'm going to restore and you're going to sing again and you're going to rejoice again. You're going to live again. I'll cause rejoicing to flood the streets again. The sounds of praise and rejoicing and laughter will be heard again because the Lord and His mercy endures forever. He will lead you into blessing. He will heal. He will forgive. He will restore. He will cleanse. He will do what He says He's going to do. Don't forget it in spite of whatever trial you might be in right now. Obey Him and He will bring you through. You may feel as though life's spun out of control somehow. The devil seems to be inflicting damage on your life or your family. And you've been asking like the king, is there any word from the Lord? Does God have a word for me? Is He still in control because everything's kind of falling apart? Listen to what I've come to tell you. The devil may be wreaking havoc in your life. He may be trying to destroy you or your family. I know Andrea's sister's here this morning. It may feel like the devil's come against a family somehow or another. But I'm telling you, if you'll hold on to the Lord and keep obeying His word, the outcome is going to be different than what you feel or think or expect. this morning. The devil's defeated and God's going to bring victory. The devil doesn't have control over the life of a believer. The Bible says in Mark 16 that they that believe in Jesus, they're going to cast out devils. That sounds to me like God has given us authority as His children and we're in control and not the devil. We're in a battle, yes. And the Bible says the devil's like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But John says, greater is He that's within you, the Spirit of God within you, than the one who is in the world. And there is victory for us today. We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. There is a word from the Lord for us today. We don't have to be worried. All kinds of stuff going on all over the world. Be concerned, yes. Be involved, yes. Take an active part to see that righteousness prevails, absolutely. But don't begin to doubt that God is still in control. Don't let your heart be troubled, because ultimately God rules and reigns in this world. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was calling all the shots. He thought he was in control, and God spoke to him in a dream. He calls Daniel in and says, see if you can help me sort out this dream. But he said, in the dream, I heard this, that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone who wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. I don't understand, Daniel says. What he's telling you is, you aren't the guy you think you are. And God's getting ready to, in fact, Nebuchadnezzar loses his mind for a while and is out in the field and gone crazy. Don't you get confused. God's still control of this world. He's still the sovereign and Lord. He's Lord over all. The psalmist declared, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, and the purposes of His heart through all generations. Are you ready and willing to trust the sovereign purposes of an all-powerful, all-knowing God? Because He's got plans for nations. He's got plans for governments. And He's got plans for you. And if you trust Him and obey Him, He'll work those plans for your good and for His glory. His plans for you, the Bible says, stand firm and solid forever. And look at that, through the generations. Through the generations. That says to me that after some of us are dead and gone, God is still working out His purposes through folks that are still here because He's faithful through the generations. He revealed Himself to Moses back in Exodus and said, I'm the God who visits His mercy and compassion to 1,000 generations of those that fear me and love me and serve me. Folks, you can serve God and trust Him, and then you can rest that even through the generations, God is going to act in faithful, loving ways. Is there a word from the Lord for you today? Yes, there is. It may be a word that calls you to repentance. It may be a word that calls you to confess and to believe. It may be a word that calls you to renewed faith, to come home, to surrender, to look to Him, to submit to Him and His timing for your life and His way in your life. Is there a word from the Lord for you today? Yes. He says, come to me, because I won't cast you out. I've not forgotten you. I'll forgive you. I'll cleanse you. I'll save you. I'll change you. I'll make things new in your life. He'll help you make that course correction that He's telling you to make in your life. Is there a word from the Lord for you? Yes, there is. He wants you to know He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you have no reason to fear, not today and not tomorrow. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. He's still a leader. He's still a comforter. He's still a healer. He's still a provider. He's still doing miracles. He still does the impossible. He's still causing all things to work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. He will yet see to it that good purposes are fulfilled in and through your life. Don't doubt Him. Trust Him today. Is there a word from the Lord for you today? Yes, there is. He's still the Lord of all. He's the God of all flesh. And nothing is too difficult for Him. He's still setting His purposes in the hearts of His people. He's still calling people by faith to launch out and fulfill that purpose. He's still calling people to live out the dream that He planted in our hearts a long time ago. He's still calling people to dare to believe that what He said about us and to us and for us will yet come to pass. Some of you this morning thought all those dreams you had been destroyed because of some things that happened in the past, just like the walls and the city of Jerusalem were destroyed in Jeremiah's day. But God is a rebuilder of broken walls and broken dreams. He causes something to come to life out of the rubble and out of the brokenness. And He'll call those dreams to life once again. He'll perform His purpose and His promise in and through you. God's purposes stand forever, even through the generations. And you can trust Him this morning. Is there a word from the Lord for you? Yes, there is. He wants you to know that even though you're walking through evil days and shadow lands, His light will still shine on you and through you. And His Word will illuminate your path. And His life-giving presence will sustain you and strengthen you. And His Holy Spirit will be there every moment to comfort and guide you. His presence will cause the darkness to become light. And He'll show you the way through this. Is there a word from the Lord for you? Yes, there is. He says, don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season you're going to reap if you don't faint. Don't give up, because there's a crown of life and a victor's crown that's been promised to everyone who overcomes. Folks, that means that it's not an obstacle-free journey. There's obstacles that we're going to climb over. There's giants to contend with. There's mountains we'll have to climb. There's valleys we'll have to walk through. There's dark places. There's challenges to deal with. But don't lose sight of the goal line. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And He's already promised to carry us safely through all the way to the other side. I know you may be weary and tired, but don't give up. And don't give in. There's better things ahead. And He's going to cause even the darkness to become brighter for those who love Him and serve Him. Is there a word from the Lord for you today? Yes, there is. And you may be suffering right now, going through some things you never thought you'd have to face or endure. But hear His word to you. And the God of grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Folks, you may be going through something right now, but God's not finished with you yet. He's not done with you yet. And He's planning to restore you and to make you strong and firm and steadfast. And every challenge you've overcome becomes that footing upon which you can rejoice and build something that's going to last forever and forever and for eternity, because Jesus declares it to be so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember God's word from Jeremiah to Judah in Jeremiah 33. You're going to go through this, but I'm going to restore you, and I'll bring you to health and healing and prosperity and bring you to peace. That's what God did for Judah. That's what God did for Israel. That's what He's done for us in the last 80 some years in the life of this church. I've watched it over and over and over again in the lives of His people. I heard Him say it again this morning. You want to take my hand, because I'll walk with you through this. He's going to take us through and lead us into a place of victory. He's working in a redemptive way, and He will establish us strong, firm, and steadfast in Him. Hallelujah. Is there a word from the Lord for you today? Yes, there is. Because the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but you know what's coming in the morning, don't you? Joy is coming in the morning. Weeping's just here for a little while. Joy's coming in the morning. You've got a reason to rejoice, because in the world you'll have tribulation. But take joy, take heart, rejoice, because He's overcome the world. He's given us a faith that overcomes the world. In Christ, we can afford to be exceedingly glad, because through Christ we can do all things. We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us, and nothing can separate us from His love. Is there a word from the Lord this morning? Yeah, there is. Are you willing to ask? And are you willing to listen? And then are you willing to obey that word? Because that's the deal. We can ask for a word all day long. What are you going to do when you get it? What are you going to do when God... Well, I was asking, but I wouldn't expect Him to hear anything from you. You know, I didn't know you were going to talk to me. Well, yeah, He's got something to say if we'll listen. And you know what? As I prepared for this, it struck me that perhaps the Lord is reminding you of a promise, not one that He made to you, but rather one you made to Him. There may be a vow that you made. And now this morning He's calling on you. He says, yeah, I've got a word. Remember that promise you made? Remember that vow you made? Remember what you said you were going to do? Now's the time. Now's the time. I'm calling that in. I'm calling that in because now's the time by faith for you to step out and to begin to say yes to what I'm calling to you. Perhaps the word from the Lord is step out in faith in a new endeavor for the Lord, a new call to ministry. I believe He's got a word for you, but you've got to dare to ask Him, and then you've got to prepare your heart for the answer, and then do these three things. Listen, trust, and obey. Listen, trust, and obey. Let's stand together this morning, because I believe God wants to say something to somebody's heart this morning. If you'll listen, if you'll dare to listen. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but something's happening right now, and you're just saying, you know what? I got to say yes to Him. I remember preaching a sermon one time that I said, regardless of what the question is, my answer is yes. I don't care what the question is, my answer to Jesus is going to be yes. Somebody had already come. And listen, if God's speaking to your heart this morning, God's dealing with you, there's a word that He's spoken to you, and you just know the answer is going to be yes for you, I want you to slip out and come and stand here at the front. We're going to pray together this morning. Maybe God's challenged you with a word, and you're just saying, I'm willing to say yes. You need to move towards Him today. I just feel like it's one of those line in the sand kind of thing, and you just need to step over it. That today God is asking something of you. There is a word, and you know it in your heart, and you're just saying yes to what He's saying. Yes, Lord, I'll do whatever You've called me to do. I've said it again this morning about preaching this sermon. I've said it again about some of the challenges that we're facing. Lord, I'm going to say yes to You. I'm not going to run from it. I'm going to say yes to You. I'm going to obey You. I'm going to surrender to You. Lord, I'm going to say yes to what You're calling me to. Somebody else, you need to make that. Maybe you're watching online this morning. You're sitting there in your house wondering. You're going through something. That's why you're not in church today. You just couldn't get here. You weren't able. You're sick or whatever. You're going through something. You just couldn't be around a group of people. And you're just wondering, God, is there a word for me? Can I get through this? And the Lord says to you, yeah, I've got a word for you. There's a future for you. Just like Jeremiah said to the people, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to restore you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God's not finished with you yet. There's still a call. There's still something you're supposed to do. There's still a plan and a purpose. God's hand, He's not finished with you yet. Somebody here this morning, there have been some dreams that have died inside, and you've just felt like, well, that's over and done with, and I can't go on from here. You've been paralyzed for a while. But hear what I'm telling you. God's not through with you. God's not finished. His plans, He's still got plans for you. And He's getting ready to birth something new in you. He's calling something new out of you. He's going to bring something up out of the ruins, out of the burned relic that's left there. God's fixing to do something. Hear what I'm telling you this morning. Something powerful can happen in your life when you say yes to Him, regardless of the question. Is there a word from the Lord? Yeah. It's about His faithfulness and about His plans for you. And He's going to perform something good. Would you stretch your hands towards our friends that are here this morning? You can still come and join them if you need to. And we're going to pray. This is just a prayer of surrender and a prayer of commitment. We're saying yes to Him today. Whatever He's calling us to, we're saying yes. We're saying yes, Lord. We're saying yes to Your will, Lord. We're saying yes to Your plan. Yes to Your call. Yes to Your purpose, Lord. We'll surrender to it. Not what we want, but what You want, Lord. We say yes to You, Lord Jesus. We say yes to You, Lord Jesus. We say yes to You, Jesus. Yes to Your plan. Yes to Your call. Yes to Your purpose for us, Lord. Yes to Your dreams. Yes to what You have for us, Lord. We say yes because You're not done with us. We're saying yes, Lord, because You've still got a plan and a call on us, Lord. We're saying yes to You because there's bigger things and better things ahead. We're saying yes to You, Lord, because what God has for us is better than anything we could have ever imagined. We're saying yes to You, Lord, because Your purposes are greater than ours. Your plan is perfect. Your plans are right for us, Lord. We say yes to You because there is a word from the Lord for us. There is direction for us. There is a purpose in all this, Lord. There's a plan for us, and we say yes to Your plan and yes to Your call. We say yes to Your purpose, Lord. We say yes for what You have for us, Lord Jesus. We'll not turn away from it. We're not going to be timid about it. We're not going to shy away from it. We're saying yes to You. Lord, there are things You've put in our heart that need to be shared with somebody else. There's things you've placed in us, Lord. We can't bury those things yet. They can't go to the grave with us. They've got to be spoken over somebody else. They've got to be shared with somebody else. There's something, Lord, you put in us. It's important that we share it with somebody else. So we'll not be silenced, not by our past. We'll not be silenced, not by the enemy. We'll not be silenced by the things that come against us. But Lord, we'll speak your word with boldness and faith. We'll do what you've called us to do. I'll say yes to you, Lord. I'll say yes to you. Whatever you call us to, Lord, we're saying yes to you today. Lord, speak clearly to our hearts individually, Lord. Speak to us, Lord, if there's a word of correction for us as individuals. God, help us to correct our course and to stay where we're supposed to be, to get back on track and walk with you in obedience, Lord. If there's a word, Lord, of encouragement that needs to come, maybe somebody discouraged today, whisper to their heart, Lord, that you promised you'd never leave them and never forsake them. You're with them. Lord, some are going through a time of weeping and grieving, to help them to hear your word again. The joy comes in the morning. There's cause to trust because there's a day of rejoicing and celebration that's coming. Thank you, Lord, that you encourage us today. Speak that word of encouragement to keep on, to press on, to overcome, because to he that overcometh, the Bible says there's a crown of life, a crown of righteousness, a crown of victory. There's eternal life that's waiting on us. There's rest and peace that's ahead for us. Your provision is going to be there as we say yes to you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The promises of the Lord are certain. They are steadfast. They are true. They are foundational for you and for your life. Build your life upon His Word, the certainty of His promise, and know that He's not a man that He would lie. He's spoken it. He will bring it to pass. He will fulfill His Word to you, to your life, and to the generations. So trust Him. Trust Him. Hold to Him. Rest in Him. Don't turn to the left or to the right. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. He is the author, the perfecter, the finisher of the faith. He will walk with you on this journey, and He'll not leave you or forsake you. Trust Him. Continue to abide in Him. For God knows the plans He has for you. He'll prosper your way. He'll establish your going, and others will see and testify that God indeed has proven Himself strong in behalf of His people. So let it be as you follow the Lord and serve Him. Let it be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your promises are steadfast, certain, and sure. And we'll trust you, Lord. We're going to trust you. We're going to live for you. We're going to do what you've called us to do, Lord. I say yes, Lord, to your will, Lord. I say yes, yes, yes. Can you sing that? I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, yes. Yes, I'll say yes, Lord, to your will, Lord. I'll say yes, yes, yes. Lord, that's our heart. We're going to say yes to you. Whatever your word to us, Lord, we're not going to rebel like Zedekiah did. I want the blessings of God on my life. I want to obey you. Whatever you're taking us through, Lord, that's it. You're going to take us through and into your perfect plan and will. Let your purposes be established through our lives as we say yes to you in all things. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Let everybody say amen.